This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in our adventure in Acts with John and Peter in Samaria, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, part one, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, part two, the road to Damascus, and Ananias sent to Saul. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
A press release from the Gallup poll organization, U.S. church attendance still lower than pre-pandemic. Now, we know that the pandemic was a gut punch to church attendance for some time, for some a long-term gut punch, and for others just a very short thing to be endured. But overall, church attendance is still lower, and it appears to be going down long-term. What does that mean for congregations who may be on the edge? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about a new Gallup poll on declining church attendance, Dr. Mark Wood. He's director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, and Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide to Four Churches. Dr. Wood, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back with you.
Why is church attendance declining?
That's a really simple question with a complicated answer. There's a number of factors that really apply to why we see declining church attendance. One of them is generational. As we age in generations past, we find that the younger generations, particularly the millennials, are simply not church-going people. Upwards of 37% of millennials have no religious affiliation. So there's also the cultural dynamic, especially among the younger generation, of not belonging. They don't see value in belonging to organizations. It's that radical individualism that's defined our culture. And then, of course, there's the pandemic that's had its impact in terms of people leaving the church and not coming back. And then there's just change in our overall culture, where religion's no longer important to people. I've seen some pretty startling responses to surveys that say, how important is religion to you? It just simply isn't on people's mind. They're living in the moment for the moment. They're not thinking about eternal things or even greater things than what can I do right now?
How did the current numbers compare to the pre-pandemic figures on church attendance?
Well, it's interesting that this latest Gallup poll shows that we, by and large, have recovered from the pandemic slip. There was a rather dramatic drop in in-person worship during the pandemic for a variety of reasons, some being that churches did actually close their doors in compliance with government directives, others that people voluntarily stayed away from public gatherings out of fear for their own health. And we see that virtual attendance was rather significant, somewhere in the upper 20% of people who said they attended worship did so virtually. Now that the pandemic has pretty much run its course and we've gotten back to normal, so to speak, we see that very few people actually attend worship virtually. It's almost flipped statistically from what was going on during the shutdowns, so that somewhere only about 4 or 5% of people attend worship virtually at this stage of the game. So we've seen people return to worship. At least the people that are going to return have returned to worship in person rather than virtually.
Is this decline that we're seeing here a result of the pandemic, or is it part of a larger trend?
It's definitely part of a larger trend. As we look at Gallup's research over the last 50, 60 years, we see that worship attendance actually peaked out in the 1960s. At about 50% of people saying that they attended religious services. And I should add the caveat here that when Gallup does these polls, they just say religious service. They don't make a distinction between Christian worship, worship in a synagogue, worship in a mosque, in terms of what kind of worship is going on, what's the teaching of the church body So, you know, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses get lumped in with Christians. But in these particular surveys, all religious people are counted. So peaking about 50% in the 60s, we're now seeing more in the area of about 30% of people saying they attend worship service on a weekly basis, or the way they actually phrase it is within the last week, have you attended worship services? That number there is showing a kind of a steady decline since 2012, about 10% drop. We're seeing that trend continue. The pandemic showed a greater drop, but the recovery brought us back to the trend. So I think we should expect to see that trend continue, if not escalate over the next decade or so.
How does the church attendance of Protestants compare with that of Catholics?
Well, in this particular survey, the Roman Catholic Church had a much more significant decline, almost double of the Protestant religions. We're seeing the Roman Catholic Church having a greater impact, not necessarily because of the pandemic, but because of the overall trend in that church body, where we see about a 2% a year decrease in attendance. They're looking between 3 and 4% decrease per year in their worship attendance.
Does political affiliation appear to matter?
It's interesting to look at that because on the whole, Republicans tend to attend worship service more than Democrats or independents. In fact, it's almost a 2-to-1 difference between Democrats and Republicans in terms of who attends worship services. So about 45% of Republicans are worship attenders. Like the other trends that we can observe, it's decreasing, though it seems like the Democrat-affiliated people are decreasing at a faster rate than Republican-affiliated people. Independents are there somewhat in the middle of Republicans and Democrats, more closely aligned with the Democrat numbers than the Republican numbers.
What other factors do you think affect church attendance?
Well, there's certainly the cultural factors, religion not being of great importance to people in our culture any longer. Part of it is the message that we sent out during the pandemic when all sorts of, quote, essential services were still open and available to people. Religious services in many places were not. So by closing our doors and declaring ourselves non-essential, I think there are people who picked up on that and said, well, I guess it's really not all that important in my life. We also saw people establish new patterns and habits during those shutdowns that, you know, had a negative impact on worship attendance. One of the factors, though, I think we often overlook is what's going on in our overall population in the United States, particularly the United States, but also in Canada to some degree. We see a population shift that has taken place over the last couple of decades so that we no longer have people and churches lined up together. When you look at high growth areas like out west, California, Nevada, Arizona, even Texas, we see a ratio of people to churches as really a good indication of one of the reasons people don't attend worship is there aren't as many churches in these communities as there are, say, in the Midwest or in the Bible Belt. For example, the most churched state in the United States is the state of Arkansas, where there's one church for every 407 people. But if you go to California, there's only one church for every 1,665 people. And the most unchurched state in the union right now is Nevada, where there's only one church for every 2,042 residents. So we have churches in places where people have come from, but we haven't actually picked up people who have migrated to different parts of the country because we haven't planted new churches at a rate that catches up with the population. Overall, there's only about 0.5% of increase in the number of churches for every 1% increase in population in these high growth areas. So we're behind the trend. So if people don't have a place to go worship, they're not going to worship. So part of the solution to this is planting churches where people have moved to, while we continue to work at strengthening the churches where people have moved from. Because even the most churched state, Arkansas, at 407 people to a church, it still leaves plenty of room for us to share the gospel with people who don't confess Jesus.
Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. He's author of the books Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, and Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. We're talking about a new Gallup poll on declining church attendance, and we'll return to the subject of remote attendance next. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Vacation Land greets visitors with a sign, the way life should be. Each year, Redeemer Lutheran Church welcomes visitors to participate in the way life should be as it is lived from the means of grace. Another sign bids visitors farewell. Worth a visit, worth a lifetime. Christ's life sacrificed for you was worth it. Whether a visitor or a resident in southern Maine, you will find a home, rest, and forgiveness of sins in Gorham and Sanford, Maine. RedeemerMaine.org.
You and your youth group are invited to the 2023 Higher Things Youth Conference, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, from July 25th through the 28th. Come hear pastors Brian Wolfmuller and Chris Roseborough teach the youth of our church about doubt and apologetics, and give them the assurance that their faith is beyond reasonable doubt. Remaining space is limited. Register now and find more information at higherthings.org.
Have you heard the rumblings about the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, it's coming up this summer in Milwaukee. In convention, LCMS delegates comprised of both laity and clergy gather for worship, study of God's Word, and to discuss and vote on the business of Synod. For a preview of what's coming up, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, cph.org to subscribe to the magazine, or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Concordia Lutheran, Jackson, Tennessee; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois; Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska; Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California; Our Savior Lutheran, North Royalton, Ohio; Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio; St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio; Trinity Lutheran, Milwaukee, Wisconsin; and Zion Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Ad Crucem's Christmas in July sale continues through July 8th. Get 25% off Christmas ornaments, Christian greeting cards, jewelry, posters, certificates, church banners, and more at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. We're talking about a new Gallup poll on declining church attendance. Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. You spoke earlier about remote attendance. What trends do we see there?
The numbers are certainly decreased significantly. I'm a bit of a skeptic on the numbers that were reported during the pandemic. As more and more churches offered online services, we've started counting the numbers that show up on the screen and saying, oh, these people are attending with us. When in fact, many people were only attending part of the service. Some people were just looking at it for a bit. Many people were outside of the local community in which the service was streamed. So it's questionable whether there, you know, that virtual attendance was ever really what we made it out to be. But now we see that it has dropped off significantly. The virtual attendance of worship wasn't quite the experience people were longing for. And it had many shortcomings, some of them technical, some of them production. But of course, the biggest shortcoming of virtual attendance is simply being disconnected from the body of Christ. We weren't meant to worship in isolation of one another. We were meant to worship as a body of believers coming together. And of course, you can't celebrate the sacrament of the altar online. So coming together in person was a way, it was really the trend now. And it's just a small percentage of people who attend worship, about 4% or so, who do it virtually.
What is church attendance looking like long-term?
Again, I think we can expect to see attendance decreasing over the long term. This is partly because of the generational changes that we talked about earlier. The best worship attenders are in the generations called the traditionalists and the baby boomers. And we're seeing as even though their percentages are dropping only slightly, the total number of people in that generation is decreasing, especially among the traditionalists, which, you know, decreasing rather rapidly. So as people grow older and pass away, the younger generation, particularly millennials, about 37% or so have no religious affiliation at all. You don't have to look very far in our congregations to see that we lack young people in our pews. That's a real challenge for us in the future because our base is decreasing. And as the two larger generations of our church body continue to age out, we're going to see probably an escalation in that decrease of worship attendance in our own experience.
What does long-term declining church attendance mean for the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
As we shrink in numbers, you know, we're going to be challenged on a number of levels. One is, can we continue to maintain the institutions that by God's grace and, you know, through his bounty, we were able to establish previously? That goes not just the overall synod and the universities and the seminaries and the national level. It goes all the way down to the local level. Are we going to be able to sustain the 5,800 congregations that we currently have? We hear about church closings. We hear about church struggles. Statistically, 80% of our congregations are in some stage of decline. Many of them in very early decline, so there's still opportunity to take action to address that decline. But there's not a small number that have reached a point where it's really not feasible to keep the doors open, so to speak. There we look at what can we do to encourage partnerships and mergers, multi-point parishes. These are things we're going to see a lot more of as our worship attendance and membership decline. We'll have to rethink a little bit about how we do parish ministry as the number of people who make up our parishes decreases.
Finally, what are some things that we can do in our congregations to reach our delinquent members, especially those who haven't returned since the pandemic?
I think the first thing we should do is turn to God's word and really come to understanding of what our attitude about inactive members should be. Sometimes I think we get a little callous to say, they're the ones who left. They're the ones who can come back. They know where we are. The doors are open. And we just take this passive wait and see attitude. But when we look at the scripture, we see that God's attitude about sheep who have strayed away is very different. Of course, the parable of the 100 sheep where the one wanders off comes to mind from Luke 15, where the shepherd goes to great risk and personal trouble to go find that one. But why? He knows that sheep's in danger. And the people who are members of our congregation, who are not in worship, who are not closely connected to their shepherd, they're in danger. There's an enemy out there who's seeking to devour the sheep of Christ. They're at risk. They're out there on their own. They need the protection of being in the flock under the shepherd. So when our attitude becomes one of grave concern over those people who aren't in worship, rather than just looking at the numbers and keeping it academic, then I think we're going to be in a better position to address the issue. In the Revitality suite of resources available from the Office of National Mission, we have a module called Shepherding Our Strays that starts with a Bible study to kind of do the attitude check. How do we really view this issue? But then it offers some very practical ways to reactively address inactive members so that we can reach out to those who have already left. Another module in Revitality is more proactive. It's called Members of One Body, and that seeks to keep people from wandering off by getting them engaged in the mission of our congregation in a meaningful way. We do have resources, you know, they're available at no cost to our LCMS congregations that address the inactive member challenge. And then, of course, there's the people who have never been there in the first place, and there we need to rethink how we reach out to our community, how we do witness, how we do outreach. And we offer resources for that as well. I think the real key to the future of the LCMS is returning to our first love. And our first love was taking the gospel to those who do not know the name of Jesus, who do not confess him as their savior, and sharing that gospel so others too can gather around the altar and pulpit with us and rejoice in the salvation that has been won for us by our savior, Jesus.
Dr. Mark Wood is Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of the books Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, and Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. You'll find the links to these books and to Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Wood, thank you.
All right. Well, you're welcome. It's always great to be with you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. We're going to be getting into the gospel reading in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, of Jesus calling for fishermen, and we'll discuss the office of preaching with Pastor Peter Bender. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.